الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأكمل لنا ديننا وأتم علينا نعمه ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا دخل الجنة. قيل: وما إخلاصها يا رسول الله؟ قال: أن تعجزه عن محارم الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله المولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. أستغفر الله أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل لقد نسبت به نسل الذي أقمي. أمرتك الخير لكن ما أتمرت به، وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقمي. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected friends, honorable youth, I am a youth myself, but because of the commands of our elders, I find myself sitting in front of you. And whatever we learn from our Asatiza and our honorable illustrious Sheikh Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahab Damat Barakatu, we will try and share. If I make any mistake, it's from myself and Shaitan. And whatever goodness comes from here, it is all from Allah and from the barakat of our Asatiza and our Sheikh Damat Barakatu. Before, when we used to sit and talk amongst the youth, then we would find the challenges was that of women, challenges was that of drugs, challenges was that of porn, at one stage challenges was that of gaming, where a youngster was addicted to his games, different types of challenges, but it was all outward challenges. And no doubt those challenges are still there. But in the time that we are living in presently, we find that the challenge is an attack directly on our iman. That now we are not trying to be looted of our morals. No, we have lost it already. Morals are not to be looted anymore. Like they mentioned, that one year a pious person was walking past and he saw Shaitan lying with his two hands out and his legs stretched out, lying on his stomach, and he's sleeping there. So asking him, Shaitan, what's your problem? What you lying here? You're supposed to be causing trouble in the world. He said, no, people have become worse for Shaitan than myself, so I don't have to sort them out. So morals have been lost. Pornography is the order of the day. Womanizing is the order of the day. All these different types of sins, drugs is the order of the day. But now the attack is where it's our Jannah and Jahannam. If a person died in this world and he left this world, he was a womanizer, but he had that drop of Iman, The other day I just read a hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell, he will be making shafa'at and shafa'at and shafa'at. And the riwayat is a lengthy riwayat. We might reach this riwayat, but just if we don't, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be making intercession one way until he will reach that point where he will tell Allah that, oh Allah, let me make shafa'at and intercession for those people who just said La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that that is not for you. That is not even for the malaika. That is for nobody. That is for Arhamur Rahimin. That is for me. And then Allah will seek out such people from Jahannam that nobody even knew they had Iman. They might have never even said La ilaha illallah, but they believed La ilaha illallah. And Allah will take them out, and those people will get a Jannah that will be 10 times the size of this world. So if a person might have died as a druggie, he might have died addicted to pornography, or any different type of sin, then there is still hope for that person. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawar Allahu Marqadahu, he said in his poem, اے ظاہرِ نادا کسی گنہگار کو حقیر مت سمجھو. The two person that think you are very disacquainted to the world and you are connected to Allah, don't ever look down at any sinner. Because at that time, if you looking down at that sinner, what if he makes tawbah? Or even not at that time, maybe at a later stage, he makes tawbah. And you end up falling into that sin, or you do not make tawbah for looking down at that person, then you are way worse than him. So coming back to the topic, the attack was, in the past was drugs, different types of things. Now the attack is directly on our iman. You will find that the education that is being put forward to our children from a very tender age of 3 years old or even less is such education that wants to steal the iman of the child. When the child is born into this world, why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us to give adhan in the one ear, give iqama in the other ear, so that iman goes in the heart of the child, from the child comes into this world. And the second reason that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to give adhan and iqama is so that the child understands my purpose of this world is not this world, it's akhirah. In the ayat I've recited, the ayat before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, that who are the muttaqeen, هُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that this Qur'an is hidayat for those people that want taqwa. Those people that have taqwa, in reality, those people that want taqwa. And who are they? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, they are those people that believe in the unseen. But today we will find that from a child to a parent, if perchance it happens that the child might be in a his class, or he might be intending to go to Darul Uloom, and now you tell the child, he says, Mama, no, I got 2 years left of school. Tell him, but by your intention is to go to Darul Uloom. Or he might not even have the intention to go to Darul Uloom, but you're encouraging him. The first question you will find in Moana, what will happen to my career? What will I do in life? Because it has been put to us such that without this piece of paper, I will be a loser. But the poet says it beautifully in Arabic. He says, لَوْ كَانَتِ الْأَرْزَاقُ تَجْرِي عَلَى الْهِجَى لَهَلَكْنَ إِذَمْ مِنْ جَهْلِهِنَّ الْبَهَائِمُ. That if sustenance was dependent on intelligence, then the animals would have died out of stupidity and ignorance. So, it has been put into the child from a very young tender age. That this is what you need to do in life. If you have this in life, you are successful. If you don't have this, you are unsuccessful. Even if you may lose your iman in the process, that's not an issue. Then you will find the parents will come crying, "Mana, I found a baptism certificate in my child's exam papers." You will find a parent will come crying, "Mana, was telling my child something of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my child's answer was, who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who is this person?" So the attack is direct on our iman. When you tell someone, believe in ghaib, in the means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the person will tell you straight, "But Mana, it doesn't make sense to me." And wallah, if we leave this world without iman, then we are completely destroyed. Then there is no savior for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the time will come when holding on to your iman will be like holding on to a burning coal. None of us will ever dare to try. But if a person has to hold on to a burning coal, then you will find that a person will be throwing the coal up and down, pushing it this way, that way, so it doesn't fall because he's trying to maybe save that coal. And that is the condition of our iman. And the third situation is that we are paying to lose our iman. Hazrat Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib for many, many years has been speaking on the harms of the secular education. And we all just took it for granted. But wallah, today we see the reality of it. This teaching in a normal maktab class or in a normal his class, the questions that students come with from good homes, a person becomes astonished as to what are these children being taught. And wallah, whatever they are being taught is nothing but hogwash. Nothing from the education helps them in their life. All they are being taught is just brainwashed. Brainwashed to what? To understand that everything besides Allah helps me in this world. You will find that a student will come to you and he'll ask you, "But Mana, who created Allah?" And this is a personal encounter. Where a student asks us, that Mana, but who created Allah? That question was not supposed to even come. But now as an ustaz, you can't look at the student and shout him, or tell him something ridiculous, or give him a sarcastic answer. Now you have to make the iman of the child. But the third part today is, at least that youngster had the opportunity to come to the madrasa. Today the importance of the madrasa is totally out. So that youngster is losing his iman day by day. His iman is becoming thinner than water. And the parent doesn't even realize. And once that iman is lost, and the child walks into the house. If before when a child walked in and said, "Daddy, I like this girl," you would still understand, okay, it's a girl. But now the situation is such, where we don't care of our iman, we'll walk in a house and you'll say, "Daddy, I like this boy." And I don't care if it's a boy. There's no problem in being with a boy. The child's iman is in danger. It might be even gone. But we have put our child in a place. And where this all started? It started from grade 1. From kindergarten. And what we thought, no. And you will find parents will say, "Mana, I don't mind paying for my child's education. 60, 70, 100,000, 200,000 a year is a joke. People seek loans, people seek educational policies. Why? To sell the iman of our child. Our example is such, and today the person that speaks about it, we call that person orthodox. You are old school, you gone mad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانِ A time will come in my ummah that يُشْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا. A person will wake up in the morning, he'll be a mu'min. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. At night when he goes to sleep, he will be a kafir. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. At night he will be a mu'min. وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. In the morning he will lose his iman. Why? يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his deen for persons of the dunya. And the person that talks about it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا. Islam started like a stranger. They used to call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this man is a madman. This man is a poet. That time a poet was like a useless person. He was poet that used to write their poetry and used to be hanged on the Kaaba. That was different poetry. But when they called a person a poet, it was an insult. Again, means this man got no work. They called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam different things. They told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are breaking our homes. They told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't know what you are doing. You're causing harm to the people. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bada al-Islamu ghariba. Islam started off like a stranger. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى. And Islam will go back to a stranger like how it started. So people will call you orthodox. People will say you from the camel age. People will say you are weird. So that person that speaks about this, he speaks against these different types of kufr education, then that person is weird. Our example is such. Hazrat Mahdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatum used to always give us example. Like the example of two fish. They're in the dam or in the ocean. One is the big fish, the grandfather fish. And one is the small fish, the youngster. The big fish got experience. He knows the world. He knows the filth of this world. He knows what's in it. And with regards to our topic, many times I heard from Hazrat Mahdul Hamid Sahib and he said that I lectured in Rand Afrikaans University, but I make open tawbah from lecturing there. And he said the reason why, he said I was sitting one day in a boardroom meeting, and after the meeting, it slipped out from one of the lecturer's mouths that we want to learn your deen so much that we can steal it from you. So they were never interested in our deen. The secular education was never ever to make us rich people. It was never ever to make us people up in the world. It was to control our lives. But anyways, our example is like that fish. So now the fish sees the youngster fish sees a dangling worm. A nice juicy worm. So he wants to go to that worm. And he says, hey, this is enjoyable, this is a juicy worm. Let me go to it. So the grandfather fish comes to him and tells him, hey, pal, look, you're just going to take a small bite of that worm. That worm is fake. In all odds. Behind that worm there is a hook. That hook is going to go. It's going to catch you. When he catches you, there's a man, he's holding a long rod. He's standing outside the water. He's going to start reeling, and he's going to pull you out of the water. Now you're going to be out of your comfort zone. You're going to be shaking this way, that way. And then he's going to take you off that hook. He's going to skin you. He's going to take off all your skin. He's the Indian fisherman. He'll put nice masala on you. And then he'll put you on the bright sand. And he will dry you. And then he will eat you. And if he's a Bengali, he will eat you so fast you won't even know that he ate you. And then what will happen to you, I can't even tell you when he goes to the toilet. So now this youngster fish is looking at that worm. The grandfather fish told him that and he went away. Said, I did my work. Now it's up to you if you want to listen or you don't want to listen. He went away. Now this fish, he's advanced in technology. He knows it all. He goes on Google also. And it might sound like I'm talking something weird, but if you go on Google and you search what is secularism, it will tell you everything besides religion. So he goes on Google everything and he comes back and he says, no, his name is Sabat Kong. What he knows, man. He's from the old school, he never touched a cell phone in his life. And he takes that bite. And when he takes that bite, he is gone. That time to take the bite was a pearl, or it was a lion, or it was a cigarette, or something of that type. Now the bite is the bite of Iman. Whether I want to lose my Iman or not. About 2 weeks back, children in grade 4 and 5, they say, Moana, in grade 4 and 5, they're teaching us about AIDS. And we are commanded to draw the female private part and the male private part. So how does that benefit our children? In what way does it benefit? But we are praying for that. Hazrat Maha Musa mentioned that he wrote a kitab on Darwin's theory. And then he gave it for proofreading. And one half his boy came back. He said, Maana, what you wrote here is all wrong. He said, what you mean it's all wrong, bhai? That is our iman, it's our belief. He said, no, Maana, but we learned all opposite of this. So the attack is direct on our iman. Our condition mustn't be such like that of the parrot, that when they walk in the house, he's saying, La ilaha illallah. He's making a lot of dhikr. But while they're eating, the cat comes and catches hold of their parrot. Now their parrot is about to die. And their parrot doesn't say, La ilaha illallah. The parrot makes its original sound, saying, Say, say, say. So our condition mustn't be such that when Malakul Maut comes to us, then we are screaming for our music, we are screaming for our degree, we are screaming for every other thing besides Allah. Because wallah, when we leave this world, if we leave without Iman, then there is such a Jahannam that we will never die from. In the azab of this Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيًا نَفْتَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. O Nabi of Allah, He says, if you are going to tear yourself apart that they don't become mu'mineen, they don't become believers. And we might say, okay, I'm not losing iman. But you will find a youngster will say, Mana, I want to come to the masjid. I want to change my life. But I can't do it. Why? Because we are in an environment of kufr all the time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlifan dakhala al-jannah. The person that will say la ilaha illallah with ikhlas and sincerity, he will definitely enter Jannah. Sahaba radiallahu anhu never left it there and said, okay, we'll say la ilaha illallah and we'll go Jannah, we got sincerity. They said, wama ikhlasuha ya Rasulullah, what is the sign of sincerity? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an ta'jizahu amma harimillah. If that la ilaha illallah, if it is said with sincerity, if that iman is deep in our hearts, then it will save a person from sin. And wallah, we might think that it is impossible. Just with little company, just with little company of pious. One parent came to me the other day, and he said, Mana, I was sitting with my family members, and there was a alim, and there was a apa also sitting there, and we spoke about skydiving. And my son's instant reaction was, that will not be right for a believer. So they looked at him and they said, but why? He said, because you are throwing your life away, you are jumping out of something. And not like we spoke to him about that in a madrasa, but just that environment of Quran. Allah Ta'ala gave him that, that naturally it will save a person away from sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to spend time in the company of the people of Iman. And wallah, if we spend time with the people of Iman, then Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, one day Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib asked him, that people say at the time of death, shaitan will steal your Iman. Then he went in Josh and he said, what do you think, Allah will leave you in a lurch at the time of death? So if we spend time in the company of the people of Iman, then inshallah Allah will never let our Iman go. But if we pay for our Iman to go, then we should not cry when our Iman leaves our heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa afirul da'wana alaykum.